Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is a loaded, jam-packed Tuesday live in Los Angeles. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio. And right here on FS1, 1 hour from now, the Herd hierarchy, rich, packed with flavor. 10 playoff teams. What do I do with Brady and the Bucks? They looked awful against Chicago. What do I do with Seattle? Worst defense of all time, statistically. Joy Taylor is joining me. It appears, Joy, we talk about this all the time. All the quarterbacks are getting better. We appear to have another new star at quarterback.
Didn't see it coming, but he has arrived.
He is really good, folks. I don't want to hear about Michael Thomas wasn't there for Drew Brees. Stop. Okay. Justin Herbert's a rookie. Okay, he didn't have his starting right tackle, his starting right guard, his starting running back, and his best receiver, Keenan Allen, got hurt end of the first quarter. And he went on the road against Drew Brees and was a better quarterback, and it wasn't close. Passer rating, the kid, without two of his offensive linemen, and the Saints have one of the best pass rushes in the NFL, 123 passer rating. 4 touchdowns, no picks. You can do so much more with Justin Herbert than you can do with Drew Brees. They move the pocket out. He's got a rocket arm. You can throw it deep, short. It doesn't matter. The question now is, will the Chargers screw it up? That's the question now. Because where you land matters in the NFL. Sam Darnold, punctured by his team. Josh Allen, you'll watch tonight, elevated by his. Look how long it's taken Baker Mayfield to finally get a grown-up as a head coach. Oh, Baker looks pretty good. Where you land matters. And the Chargers have a good GM and a lot of talent. But what a shock. Last night, the coaching wasn't good, and the special teams lost the game. This kid has led in the last 3-4 weeks. He's led Mahomes, he's led Brees, he's led Brady in the fourth quarter. And they can't make a kick, or they go conservative with play calling. This kid's a rock star. But this organization historically has gone cheap. Is Anthony Lynn the coach? Well, let's look in his own division. In order to win this division, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. Can Anthony Lynn outduel them? Forget Belichick in the AFC. Forget John Harbaugh in the AFC. Forget Mike Tomlin. Forget Sean McDermott. Forget Mike Vrabel. Is he as good, as daring as John Gruden? Is he schematically clever like Andy Reid? All I know is this. Justin Herbert is wow. The only two quarterbacks in the league that have this talent, this size, this arm, this escapability, the two of them, are Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. And Patrick Mahomes got a year to sit behind Alex Smith. Josh Allen was awful his first year and a half in the league. This kid is great now. Will the Chargers screw it up? Is Anthony Lynn right? Is Anthony Lynn good enough? He wasn't last night. And if they decide he's not, will Dean Spanos, the owner, go out and pay $10 million for Lincoln Riley? Or $10 million for Urban Meyer? Not some retread coach like the Cowboys did. Will you go out and spend big boy money to get a John Harbaugh? To go get a rock star head coach? Because we know in this league, if you give Lamar Jackson John Harbaugh, we know how it turns out. Really good. And if you give Josh Allen a Sean McDermott, excellent young coach, we know how it turns out. You'll watch tonight. Really good. We know that if Mike Vrabel gets his hands on Ryan Tannehill, what happens? Average quarterback, then better than average. Because I'm watching Justin. I have questions about this staff. They watched all these practices. They watched all this game tape. And it wasn't until last week the Chargers went, yeah, we think Justin Herbert's better. What are you watching? I mean, there are things in life that are subtle and nuanced. Justin Herbert has a massive arm. Is huge. This kid, everybody nitpicked him at Oregon. So I watch a lot of Oregon football games because I used to work in Portland. So they have an offensive line coach as a head coach. Very conservative, and they don't have great weapons like Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, LSU. It's Oregon. They don't have 5-star wide receivers, right? And so Justin Herbert, it was a very conservative offense. And at the end of the year, Joy was here, they decided at the end of the year in the Rose Bowl, we got no games left for Justin Herbert. Go for it. And did you watch him against Wisconsin? Wisconsin had a great defense. They couldn't stop Justin Herbert. It doesn't take much. This kid was a Dean's List student in college, and he majored in biology. It wasn't like a lot of athletes who, you know, you find the major that kind of works for your ability to not, like, go, you know, go to practice and stuff. He majored in biology. He was a Dean's Lister. We've had people of this network who have covered Oregon, interviewed him. They're like, oh, kid blows you away, the wisdom for like a 21-year-old kid. But I wonder about this. Can the Chargers elevate him? Because last night, I mean, when they doinked that field goal, you were all watching that game saying the same thing. Gosh, the Chargers. When they went conservative with their play calling, you were all saying the same thing. Oh, it's the Chargers. So the pressure is not on Justin Herbert. It's been he's played four games. First game, again, 5-minute heads up, you're playing against Patrick Mahomes. I don't know, a little intimidating? Can you imagine 5 minutes you're fighting Mike Tyson? 5 minutes you have to face Messi. 5 minutes, Patrick Mahomes. A little nervous. He outplayed him for the first half of that game. He outplayed Tom Brady first half of that game. He outplayed Drew Brees last night. Are the Chargers good at the pressure's not on Herbert? It's on the organization. Because the organization has a history of being cheap, screwing up special teams, and in they got players. Don't kid yourself. It's not woe is me. Justin Herbert's got real receivers. I mean, this is a real football team with real players. But four games. The first one, a touchdown, a pick. Second one, a touchdown, a pick. Third one, three touchdowns, a pick. Last night, four touchdowns, no picks. Cameron Hayward of the Saints, great player on a great defensive line, said, uh-oh, watch out, this kid's special.
He's a baller. Young kid out there taking a lot of hits today. I think our D-line, our front seven got after him pretty well. You know, he made a lot of great plays down the stretch. And that's something, you know, that he may be a force to be reckoned with for the years to come. He's showing some huge potential.
Cameron Jordan, my bad. All right, let's shift to this. Yesterday I said something to Joy during the show. And I wasn't trying to be a hot take, but I watched Matt Ryan this weekend. And I'm watching the NFL in 2020. And I'm like, Atlanta fired everybody. They fired their GM, they fired the coach. And I'm like, I think I'd move off Matt Ryan in 1 year. Cap space, you gotta keep him this year and next year. But if I could draft the Trevor Lawrence, if Atlanta keeps losing, if I could draft the Justin Fields, I'd draft him. Very interesting. The owner of the Atlanta Falcons, Arthur Blank, said, we're not quite sure what we're going to do at the quarterback situation with Matt Ryan.
Matt has the ability to play at a very high level, even at this age. Whether that's going to continue or not, I'm not sure. I appreciate his willingness to consider doing that and the level of what he's played for us for 13 years, which has been incredible. So I will have to see. But then again, that's going to be a decision at the end of the day. That'll be part of it be up to the player and part of it be up to the coaching staff and whether or not, you know, Matt can keep himself together. And I hope he's going to be part of our plans going forward, but that'll be a decision that I won't make.
Not exactly a vote of confidence. Matt Ryan's not bad. We all know that. Matt Ryan's not special and dynamic. We all know that. He's Kirk Cousins with an MVP. Would you move off Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins gets talked about a lot because Kirk Cousins wins and got that initial big contract. But Kirk Cousins is actually more mobile than Matt Ryan. You can roll the pocket out with him. Kirk Cousins actually throws a better deep ball than Matt Ryan. What do you do with Matt Ryan? I watched Matt Ryan this past weekend. When everything's set up for success, it can be nice. It's sort of like, you know, like marriages. Everybody gets along on the honeymoon. The kids are at camp for the summer. No in-laws around. And the money's rolling in. But how's the marriage when the money's tight? In-laws are in town. Kids are melting down. That's a real marriage. That's what all of us go through. Matt Ryan is great when everything's set up for him. But it's 2020. Nothing's set up for anybody. Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. Those guys make plays when the world isn't perfect. Matt Ryan plays in a dome. There is no wind. He plays in a warm weather division. If he played in Pittsburgh, you'd see even more issues. He is largely protected. Julio Jones plays in a dome. But this is the real question. Your marriage, it's tested when the kids melt down, not when they're away at camp. And in 2020, what's your quarterback like when you're missing a left tackle, your top running back is out, your number two receiver is out, and your back is killing you because he got sacked five times the previous week? And that's, for Matt Ryan, territory he can't elevate. I'm watching the NFL right now, and there's about seven teams that I would say would not draft Trevor Lawrence. About seven. Everybody else, that kid at Clemson, I'd take him, sit him for a year in Atlanta, and move on. If you want to be special, you got to have a special quarterback. Matt Ryan is special when everything is set up to succeed. As you watch the NFL going forward, when is everything perfectly set up to succeed? The answer, almost never. Coming up, stop making excuses. I know he's iconic and I know he's beloved, but we got to stop making excuses for an NFL player. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Great to have you in. This excuse I am tired of officially. I'm getting, you know what I mean? I don't like excuses to begin with. I tell my kids this all the time. Don't want to hear victimhood. Got a good life. Granite countertops. We're all good here. I don't want excuses. I don't want to hear Michael Thomas is not available for Drew Brees, and that's the problem. That ain't the problem. Michael Thomas is worth 1 point in Vegas. That's what he's worth. NFL scoring has never been higher. I saw a stat this morning. Last year, there were like 25 games where they scored over, you know, like combined 50 points or something. We're already at like 22. Michael Thomas is worth a point. Okay, there's four old quarterbacks in the NFL. Let's be honest. Two can play and two can't. Phillip Rivers and Brees right now, can't win big with them. Big Ben and Tom Brady, I think you can. But Brees needs to outsmart you, and he's great at it. But Sean Payton is one of the smartest offensive coaches of my lifetime in the NFL. He's on a short list. When he wants athleticism or a deep ball, he brings in Taysom Hill. And everybody's complaining last night on Twitter about Taysom Hill. Oh, the Saints offense doesn't need Taysom Hill. Hell, it doesn't. Their first six possessions last night against the Chargers, who were a beat-up mess defensively. You got no Derwin James, Brandon Ingram's out, Bosa's limited. Their defense is a wreck right now. They're all banged up. The first six possessions, Drew Brees led, punt, punt, field goal, punt, interception, punt, and the field goal was an 18-yard drive. And their only touchdown of the first half, they basically got it at midfield. You're not smarter than Sean Payton. Sean Payton's watching practice. Sean Payton's like, we got to throw it deep, we got to bring in the other guy. We need an athlete, we got to bring in the other guy. And I love Drew Brees, a first ballot Hall of Famer. But at some point, I'll be on the air, and I'll have no more teeth left, and I'll be hacking and wheezing, and you'll be like, ah, it's over for Colin. You can't win with Colin. Right now, still got a shot. Still got a shot with me. But, you know, this is not about Michael Thomas. This is a pop gun offense. I mean, the offense is Alvin Kamara, little dump pass, make it work. It's not a knock on anybody. This is an elite defensive line, a very good offensive line. Kamara's a stud. But there's four old quarterbacks in this league, and Phillip Rivers and Drew Brees, your eyes they're not fooling you. Okay, what you're seeing is Justin Herbert. You can do a lot more with Justin Herbert. You're going to watch Josh Allen tonight. You can roll the pocket. You can throw deep, intermediate. I mean, Josh Allen and Justin Herbert are the kind of guys. Justin Herbert was getting the crap knocked out of him last night. I mean, he was throwing off balance. He was throwing while getting hit. He's got two offensive linemen out. He doesn't have his best running back. Keenan Allen gets hurt. And they are a field goal away from beating Drew Brees. So I don't want to hear about Michael Thomas. Great player. He's worth a point. Okay. You got two offensive linemen out for the Chargers. We all know what quarterbacks need. Good coach, good offensive line. That's just as valuable. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
We can still win with you, Colin.
Huh?
We can still win with you.
Right now.
I feel like this year was like your Tom Brady Falcons Super Bowl. Right? We had 5 months with no sports, so we were behind 28-3. And then we came back.
But you
triumphantly.
You were Edelman. You made a catch. The ball was 1 inch off, and Joy swooped in and made the catch. Or I wouldn't have won it without you.
I appreciate that. So Dak Prescott's ankle injury Sunday brought up a lot of questions about his future in Dallas. But Stephen Jones made it clear that the team's feelings about Dak haven't changed. Jones said he's our future. He's special. If anyone can overcome anything, it will be Dak. It's something our doctors feel like he'll overcome, and he'll come back better than ever. He's the face of our franchise. He'll come back ready to go next year.
I saw Alex Smith play Sunday. Dak's going to be fine.
It's a 4 to 6 month injury, as gruesome and brutal as it was. And of course, you see that, and everyone's first thought, obviously, other than him being injured and hoping that he gets well soon, is that, oh my God, like this, what happens with the future of him with the Cowboys? Like,
right.
He did not sign that long-term deal. This is the risk that you take when you bet on yourself. And everyone loves Dak as an individual, and he's done everything right. So we're rooting for him to be successful. It just feels like he was going to be franchised next year anyway. So
that's how I feel. Like, I feel like Mike McCarthy, they'll franchise him again, and they'll say, listen, we're going to give you $35 million again. You know, this is in Dallas.
I mean, they're likely going to win the NFC East.
I'm not as confident as you are on that.
Who?
I like Philadelphia.
They're going to pull it together?
Because
they just lost again.
I know. It's week 4 or 5. I think structurally Dallas... Does everybody understand how limited the Giants' offense is and what it looked like Sunday?
I'm not saying that the Cowboys have it together either. They just have it together a little more than the Eagles have it together.
That's a good bet.
And the other two teams in the division are not in the
that's
conversation.
That's a milkshake bet.
That's a milkshake bet?
Well, I'm lactose intolerant, so we'll bet a dinner somewhere.
Fine.
I'm Philly, you're Dallas.
I'm sticking with Dallas. But I do think that Dak will be back next year and franchise tagged again.
Yes.
My feelings about Dak with the Cowboys changed when he was franchised the first time. That kind of felt like, okay, Dak's not going to finish his career with the Cowboys because he's going to get franchise tagged again next year. And then unless he has some spectacular over the top year where they make a deep playoff run or get to the Super Bowl, what is Dallas going to do? Because you're basically saying you're unsure. Now, I understand that they offered him a contract.
Yeah.
But they knew what kind of contract that he wanted. And, I mean, for whatever your opinion about Dak is as a quarterback, he's 42-27 in the regular season and 1-2 in the postseason. He's not been in the league that long.
Right.
And he now has a new head coach.
So yeah,
he's dealing with the circumstances that are there.
Yeah, he's a franchise quarterback. Nobody disputes that. I never doubt he's a franchise quarterback. The question becomes, and he actually, one of the things I like about him, real durable, and he can move. And in 2020... I like my quarterbacks to have a little wiggle. So he's a franchise quarterback. The question's going to become, and there's a Garoppolo thing where there's these bad Sundays and you're like, I can't go to 40. I can't go to 37. I'll go 29, 30. And I think he's in that sphere.
And I don't disagree with you because he's not going to carry a team to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And their defense needs to be focused on right now.
And carried.
So, yes, definitely. Finally, Josh Allen has led the Bills to a strong 4-0 start, and his performance this year so far has got the attention of former MVP Patrick Mahomes ahead of their Week 6 matchup.
Josh has played top-notch football, MVP-caliber football. So when you have the offense or defense that are both clicking like that, they're going to be a hard team for us to beat, and I'm ready for the challenge.
I didn't love Josh Allen in the beginning.
He was awful his first year. He was awful.
He has really, really developed.
I mean, honestly... That's where when I see something like that, I'm like, okay, who's his coach? Who's his coordinator? Like when a guy does boom, you're like Patrick Mahomes, nothing against Andy Reid, but Patrick's got some gifts that are just supernatural. But in Patrick, I mean, Josh Allen wasn't a good college quarterback. Like he was all over the map as a college quarterback. He was terrible his first year, and then you see him turning around. He's going to get Brian Daboll a really nice head coaching job somewhere in this league. There'll be about 5 coaches fired. Because when you watch him tonight, he is now accurate. He always had a huge arm. He's accurate.
He's had a tremendous development. Patrick Mahomes has things that you can watch and say, okay, no one taught him how to do that.
Lamar.
He just does it. He just has that extra
Russell Wilson.
Magic to him.
Some guys have
they
magic.
They have that it factor. Josh Allen doesn't have that to me, but he has developed so much since he's gotten in the league. Like, I can't deny it anymore. Like, he is a franchise quarterback. He's playing tremendous football. The Titans had no positive tests. So the Bills and Titans game is on for today.
How great is it? What time is it on?
It is at 4 Pacific, so 7 Eastern. It's early.
It's all I love the West Coast.
Tuesday night football.
I love it. Gives us a lead tomorrow.
Well, the Bills are favored by 3.5, according to Fox Bets. And it should be a good game tonight because we haven't seen the Giants for a while. So glad that they're back. Finally, the Braves kept their undefeated postseason alive in game one of the NLCS.
They can hit.
With the Dodgers. At the top of the ninth inning, Austin Riley hit a huge home run to break the 1-1 tie. That was just the start of the Braves' four-run rally to get the 5-1 win. Game two is today at 5 Eastern on FS1. And some big news for the Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw has been scratched from today's game due to back spasms. So Tony Gonsolin will get the mound instead.
The Dodger fans are getting tired of winning the division and not getting the payoff.
They need to get over that hump.
Yeah.
But that's big news that Clayton's out. Big
game
today.
It's not great.
Yeah.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
You know, it is. It's interesting. Like in basketball, if you see a talent, you're like, okay, that kid's a talent, and then he just needs coaching and everything. In football, we see this talent, and then it's so weird. We talk ourselves out of it. And like when you see Justin Herbert at Oregon, and you're like at the Rose Bowl, you're like, Joe, he's just running. Oh, he's running over Wisconsin guys. Wisconsin had a very good defense last year, and it's like there was a lot of criticism about him. And I said this during the Rose Bowl and after during the draft. I said Justin Herbert. I said I watch a lot of Oregon games because I cover the Ducks and I watch a lot of Pac-12 football. And everybody watches SEC football. Everybody watches Big Ten football. I watch Pac-12 football and that stuff. And I said, I don't understand. He's a 4-point student in biology. He's big, strong, and mobile, and he's a good kid, and he got better every year at college. I'm like, I don't get the nitpicking. We did this with Andrew Luck. We're like, Andrew Luck's arm is good enough. It's a B-plus arm in the NFL. It's fine. It's like almost like we talked ourselves out of this kid. Holy moly. I mean, I just watched him last night. I was like, whoa. Doug Gottlieb Show, All Ball with Doug Gottlieb, the podcast now joining us, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Are you a little surprised, Doug, that there was, like Anthony Lynn kind of pushed back, let's start with Tyrod, and then, you know, they kept saying it's Tyrod's team. Like, I look at that and I think, man, what at practice didn't you see? Or were they just protecting the kid? What were they doing?
Well, there was no OTAs, remember?
Yeah.
Right? There wasn't all of the normal stuff after the NFL draft, Colin, had gone away. And if you remember, when Anthony Lynn was in Buffalo and they went to the playoffs for the first time in, I think, 13 years, Tyrod Taylor was his quarterback. So there's, he had that. That was his rabbi in the room. That was the guy who believed in him. And he tried to have us believe that you don't lose your job to injury. But, you know, Wally Pipp lost his job to injury and never got it back. And clearly, Justin Herbert is going to Wally Pipp Tyrod Taylor. That said, look, there were a couple of inaccurate throws. And that's, I think, the biggest question mark. You guys were talking about Josh Allen. And, you know, we've all bought into this idea that you don't get more accurate at the higher level of football. That was what held people back from believing in Lamar Jackson. And it's still an issue at times with Lamar Jackson, especially outside the numbers. It's still an issue at times for Josh Allen, although they found a way to navigate it. And it's going to be the biggest issue, I think, for Justin Herbert. But Herbert was one of those guys that checked a bunch of boxes, but it was like one of those, this is, you know, the old adage, if something's too good to be true, it probably is. I think that's what people thought.
Yeah.
I also think in this, I know it's two different offenses. I know two different coaching staffs, but there's some similarities there. I think Oregon's style, their tempo, the dink and dunk, a lot of screen passes in their offense. I think that covered up Marcus Mariota's flaws, and I think it covered up some of the immense amount of skill that Justin Herbert has, because he's way better than advertised at this point in his career. Doesn't mean top end he becomes better than Burrow or better than Tua, but as of right now, it is stunning how good he looks.
You know, it is interesting about, and I was talking to a friend watching the games this weekend, and I'm like there's certain guys in this league, we know they are not super dynamic, and we know they're not bad. Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan. And you start watching them, and you're like, if I'm Atlanta, it's like, and I'm Detroit, it's like, I know they're talented, Doug, but the game's changing. You saw last night with Breeze, there's just only, you can't do certain things. And I said to myself, I was like talking about Trevor Lawrence this weekend, and I'm like, I think there's seven teams that wouldn't take him. You know, obviously, Kansas City, Seattle, Green Bay. I mean, we know who it is. I even think New England with Cam would say, we'll take him and just keep Cam for 2 years. But when take Matt Ryan, for instance. He's been an MVP. if you could get Trevor Lawrence, would you take him with Matt Ryan if you're Atlanta?
Probably. I mean, or you know, look, everyone has a value, right? It's like when Khalil Mack was traded for two first round picks, everybody said John Gruden, one, couldn't get two first round picks. He did. And then, you know, well, how can you give up on your team? Well, you look at what you can surround your quarterback with. So, I do think that Matt Ryan still, has an immense amount of skill. I mean, they had leads in all of these games to give away. Now, was he part of the offense that gave away the lead? Sure, but it was the defense that was completely dysfunctional and a team that just found ways to lose games they should rightfully win. So I'm not selling Matt Ryan right now like others are. I think it just depends. What can you get for Matt Ryan? What can you get for Trevor Lawrence? You balance that out with who's the new GM, who's the new head coach, and how long their contract is. Because in the short term, Matt Ryan's going to win you a bunch more games. In the long term, having a rookie contract under a rookie deal and a chance to get something back from Matt Ryan in return obviously looks profitable in the future. But the idea that you're going to win right away with that team that has a bunch of holes to it. Look, Julio Jones isn't what he used to be. And everyone knows that Todd Gurley is, after the knee, some of the work ethic issues, he's going to have moments of greatness, but he's not a great long-term fit. That's a team that probably needs to start over. And starting over usually means the quarterback. But I think Matt Ryan still has a lot more good football left in him. The question becomes, it feels like it has to be a team in a dome because he's always had some arm strength issues.
I want to go to basketball. You know, it's one of the things that really jumped out to me in the bubble is how much leadership mattered. Jimmy Butler, I had my questions, but I really felt like, wow, this kid's a real leader. He plays with young guys. I just really felt like my whole opinion of Jimmy Butler changed. And I watched a lot of these veteran teams, and there's a lot of great players in this league, Harden and Westbrook and Giannis and Paul George and Kawhi. But I looked at LeBron's leadership, and I mean, he's got kids, he's got a family, and he just pulled this thing, Doug. He just pulled it all together, and I thought, if leadership matters, and I think it does, LeBron's the best player in the league again next year, isn't he? He's the only guy that I think can make everything work. And I watch this bubble and I'm like, I think leadership was 50% of the bubble beyond players.
Well, I would say that the two things to me that the bubble taught people who don't pay enough or give enough respect to the NBA is, one, leadership matters and coaching matters. Let's not kid ourselves. Frank Vogel and his staff did a marvelous job.
Yes.
Okay. It helps. It fixes everything when LeBron buys in, but he had to get LeBron to buy in. They had excellent game plans, and he helped execute them. Whatever was discussed in getting him on board, he didn't fight him on things. And when your star fights the coach, it ain't gonna work. So first thing is coaching did matter. I thought it mattered for Miami. I thought it mattered for the Lakers. I thought those were two beautifully coached teams. But you're right in terms of leadership, but they're different. You know, LeBron was a little abrasive last year as a leader. This year, he was just constantly in the ear of Anthony Davis, and then Anthony Davis was his number two, and Anthony Davis then cleaned up some stuff in the locker room. And you know, look, there's a lot of interesting stories that I think will come out of the bubble. The Lakers weren't in great shape mentally, and then, you know, with what happened in Kenosha when the league took like 4 or 5 days off, they actually missed two games. That helped recharge them, and then their family showed up, and that helped recharge them, and then the Rockets were talking a little trash to them. That helped them. And then the Clippers lost, and then they were like, well, the hell with it. Now we're going to win this thing. We're already here. Let's just finish it off. So I think that LeBron's leadership, not just in what he said and how he carried himself, but how he respected his coach, but also the fact that he empowered Anthony Davis to then be his attaché, his number two. And so it wasn't just LeBron being a dictator in that locker room. The Heat, you got a bunch of young guys, and obviously Jimmy Butler finally found a group that will listen to him.
Right.
Butler can be, again, abrasive and a know-it-all and that old head who thinks he's seen and done everything, but it did work with this group. I think coaching and leadership was a huge part of the bubble.
You know, it's interesting. We were talking about this yesterday on the show that, you know, greatness just isn't talent. Like I've always said, you can say what you want about Jim Harbaugh, but it's not just that he made Michigan better. San Francisco, the Niners were a wreck when he left. Like, what happens when you leave? And as great as Jordan is, North Carolina was great when Jordan left. And by the way, the Bulls were fine when Jordan left. They went 57-55. But LeBron's teams are terrible when he leaves. They're horrible. They like get the number one pick. Could I just argue this? Forget talent. As a foundational pick, LeBron makes,
how are we doing?
He makes everything work.
He makes everything better. He's an all-time great player. Let's not do the Jordan. When Jordan left the Bulls the second time, they were an abject disaster. Now everybody else left as well. Okay, when LeBron left Miami, one of the reasons that they sank so far down was Chris Bosh had blood clots, right? If Chris Bosh comes back with that gigantic contract, they're still a playoff team without him. You know, the first time LeBron left Cleveland, they had won 61 games. They did. They had gone all in. Remember, they got Shaq and Anton Jameson. They tried to throw everything to make it work, and then they tore it all down. They fired their coach. They tore it all down. So I think context does matter. But I heard your foundational piece. If that's true, then why wasn't their foundation better last year? I think it takes the right mix. I think that these things take usually a year to marinate. I mean, the truth is that even when he got to Miami the first time, it wasn't perfect that first year, and they had to figure out the point guard situation. They jettisoned Mike Bibby. They moved Chris Bosh essentially to center, and then they acquired Ray Allen, and the rest is, in fact, history, right? So I think we have to understand that the Clippers are going to be real next year. The Warriors are going to be real next year. The Nets are going to be real next year. Boston should only get better. I think Milwaukee, as long as Giannis stays, I think they'll be right there. I think it's going to be an unbelievable year. LeBron and what he's done, to me, was my MVP because of where this team was at the end of last year. Magic quits. They couldn't pull off the trade. People didn't want to deal with Pelinka. That's what everybody said. Ty Lue's the only coach. Ty Lue turned down the job. And you look at now, they were the best defensive team, clearly the best team in the NBA. Whatever the road they had to go through isn't their fault. But if you want to do the whole what happened when they left, when Jordan left the Bulls the second time, they've literally never recovered except for the year where they were the one seed with Derrick Rose. So I think he's great. I think he makes everybody better. That's the true sign of a great player. But it takes a while to learn how to play and function with LeBron James, especially this version of LeBron James, who's not as athletic as he used to be defensively, but he uses his brain at a 50 times rate of most NBA players to get everybody else to do the things that he used to be able to do.
The Duggar show after ours on Fox Sports Radio. We're having steaks tonight, Doug and I, and watching some.
Am I cooking? Am I?
No.
Because I heard you don't know your way around.
No.
You're cooking?
No, I'm like Bobby Flay with a microphone. You're not. I'll be cooking. I'll be doing all the cooking. Very talented. Doug Gottlieb, good stuff. Coming up next, I want to end the MVP debate, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. Let's just stop it. Let's not get into it. There's certain times I don't even want to engage in conversations, so I'm going to stop everybody else from talking about it with a little context on why it's not a competition. It's like Burger King to McDonald's. You can be two, but it ain't close to one. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
See the check engine light come on. Don't freak out. Get carshield.com. Deductible may apply. It's a warranty when yours runs out. So I saw some, it's unfortunate, the media has never been worse, and I'm seeing these Aaron Rodgers should be the MVP stories in the last couple of weeks, and it's like, stop, let's stop. Let me give you some perspective on this. There's no story here. Russell Wilson is 5-0. This Seattle defense this morning is statistically the worst in league history. In league history, here's the worst four defenses. For our radio audience, Seattle's won. They're 5-0, including a win over Belichick and Cam. Atlanta's is now the second worst. They just fired their GM and their coach because of it. Drew Brees, 2012 Saints, third worst defense. They were 7-9. Remember, they had the best offense in the league. Drew Brees couldn't get a winning record with the best offense in the league when he had a bad defense, and the 81 Colts were awful. You cannot win in this league with a historically awful defense. So let's start with that. Aaron Rodgers, much better defense. Here's the other thing. I mean, Russell has scored 35 against Belichick, 31 against Brian Flores, and 27 against Mike Zimmer this weekend in a driving rainstorm. Three good defensive coaches. But ask yourself this. Offensive lines, do they matter? Do you know the number one rated offensive line in the NFL this morning, PFF? Green Bay. Green Bay also has a top five running back in the league, Aaron Jones. A top five wide receiver, maybe a top two wide receiver in Devontae Adams. Green Bay also has an offensive coach. That obviously helps. I mean, you don't think Jared Goff had a defensive coach than an offensive coach? Kind of a difference. The only advantage Russell Wilson has over Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson's number two wide receiver, Tyler Lockett, is better than Aaron Rodgers' number two wide receiver. Most valuable is the ability, this is what LeBron just did, to take a lot of disparate parts or average parts and elevate all of them. You could. Aaron Rodgers is number two in the voting, like Burger King is number two to McDonald's, but it's not close. Okay, it's not close. Aaron Rodgers could not take this offensive line and this defense and be 5-0. Aaron's in a easier division with a better defense, an offensive coach, the best offensive line in the league, a better number one receiver, and a better number one running back. It ain't close. Seattle's 5-0, worst defense in league history so far. And they haven't even faced, you know, they haven't even faced some of the more dynamic offenses they'll face. All right, Jerry Jones, owner of the Cowboys this morning on Dallas Radio. And the big questions now, what are you going to do with Dak? How are you going to pay Dak? Is Dak the future of the NFL in Dallas? Jerry Jones, ever the businessman, doesn't generally like to talk publicly about money. Totally get it. If I owned a team, that's how I would act. Said this about Dak.
We've got to be reminded that to have a team, that we've got to really manage how we dole out our resources. Dak is deserving of anything you want to put on a piece of paper, relatively speaking. He's deserving of that. And if you evaluate what he can do to help us win championships, we've got to make it work. So what am I saying? I'm saying exactly the same thing that I said the last time we were asked about this before the season started. It's a part of the game, is the business and the contract part.
What's interesting about Dallas to me is the Dak injury is going to allow potentially Dallas to have excuses. Well, I mean, we lost our quarterback. We're 6-10. We're 7-9. But let me offer this. Dallas is rebuilding. They just don't know it. You watch the Giants and Dallas this weekend. We know the Giants are rebuilding. They look like the same team. One had a really good defense, one had a really good offense. One had a bad offense, one had a bad defense. I mean, hear me out here. Offensive line now is bad. Defensive line is old and not very good. Secondary, outside of Trayvon Diggs, not very talented. Linebackers, expensive, overrated, banged up. Outside of the wide receiving core, which is substantial, and the running backs. I like Pollard and Zeke. Outside of that, what do you mean rebuilding? Because most of us know Detroit is rebuilding. The Giants are rebuilding. Washington is rebuilding. I'm not denying that. But there's also these teams, and we also know Green Bay isn't rebuilding, and Baltimore's not rebuilding, and Kansas City's not rebuilding. We know that. But then there's these teams in the middle that are, and you're like, they just don't want to talk about it. Dallas is rebuilding. What does rebuilding mean? If you go into a draft, the next draft, and you've got half or more of your units need somebody, a playmaker, because you're not making enough plays, offense or defense, you are rebuilding. And again, there's 7-8 teams not rebuilding. Dallas needs two offensive linemen, minimum one, maybe two defensive linemen, another linebacker, a safety, one to two more corners. They could really use an elite tight end. Again, they don't need a running back. Zeke and Tony Pollard, nice dimensions there. Like them both, actually. I think Pollard's a little underrated. Zeke right now is still really good. Wide receivers, they're loaded. They don't need to draft a wide receiver for 2 years. They are all good at wide receiver. But that is why the CeeDee Lamb draft pick to me was so weird. Like, you just paid Amari Cooper a ton of money. You want to get him touches. Michael Gallup's becoming a star. And you had Cedric Wilson in practice, and all I know is when I watch Cedric Wilson, I'm like, that's one of the better third receivers potentially in the league. So I think the Dak injury gives Dallas opportunities to say, you know, we were going to be blank. I think Dallas is rebuilding. I think they're a rebuilding team. You go into a draft, six units need a playmaker. You are rebuilding. And I feel Dallas is. All right, the Herd Hierarchy, Hour 2, live in L.A. next, the Herd.